Welcome to the Frontline Industry Podcast, where the best of the best executives from around the world share their leadership advice and insights, giving you practical tips and strategies that you can take and immediately implement in your teams and organizations to help you become the leader you want to be. On today's episode, Healing at Work Part 2, I continue to chat with Susan Schmidt Winchester as she picks up where she left off last week in Part 1. Listen as Susan shares a vulnerable story about how she was triggered at work as a senior executive and how she handled it, how just because you're damaged doesn't mean you're doomed, the power and importance of self-acceptance, and much more. Don't go anywhere. The Frontline Industry Podcast starts right now.
And the whole point of this step is that once you've done something differently, that elevated action, you've got to celebrate it, because the act of celebrating it integrates it into our identity. It's consistent with not only neuroplasticity, but also the positive psychology research that says essentially when we focus on positive things, the quality of our life will improve and depression will decrease. I'll give you a real life example of when I was doing my own rapid power reclaim on myself. I was doing some meetings with the leadership team that I was a member of. This goes back many years. And we were all getting ready to do sort of a big presentation about our plan for the next year. And one of my colleagues, peer of mine, kept kind of making side comments about, I don't really see a talent strategy here. And so I immediately got triggered. Mm-hmm. I immediately thought, he doesn't think I'm good enough for this job. And it felt condescending and judgmental. And I'm super triggered by judgment, which a lot of people are. And so I started to get really anxious about my presentation. And as the week unfolded where the other people were presenting their plans for the next year, by the night before my presentation, I was an emotional wreck. I was teary. I was triggered. I was anxious. I was in a weak place emotionally. And I thought, okay, I got to practice what I preach. I got to do my rapid power reclaim on myself. And I do this all the time, by the way. And so step one was just to get the emotion out. And I went and used a really cool process that Celine taught me of how to get that emotion out. It's called the three circle exercise. But I spent the time to really let the emotion come up. Then the second thing I did is I took a little post-it note. Because it was, you know, I just had a little post-it note next to me when I was presenting. And I had the post-it note in a place where I could see it next to my notes. And on the post-it note, I wrote, you and your team have done a heck of a job on this presentation, on your plan. You've done all the research. You're looking at the workforce trends. You know, you are well prepared. And then I put, and you know what? The team that you've been working with, you've got a super strong team. This work will not disappoint. And then the last thing I wrote on my little post-it note was, if it doesn't work out, you're marketable. I did. And I had that little post-it note right next to my notes. And so the next day when we presented, we killed it. But it was taking that step, that writing those little notes to myself as a little reminder that what we had was really good, that elevated action. It completely shifted my whole energy and approach. And we nailed it. The team was really happy with the approach. And so that celebrating and integrating, what I did on that particular day, it was a beautiful, sunny, warm summer day. I just went outside and stood in bare feet on the grass and just took in the entire experience of nature. I can remember how blue the sky was. There were these little white billowing clouds. I remember the breeze kind of surrounding me. And I could hear the birds singing in the background. And I just felt so proud. I'll never forget that moment. It gives me chills thinking about it. But that act of celebrating is a reinforcement into your brain, the neural pathways, that you can do it differently. I don't have to go onto that spiral down. I don't have to go and have another drink. I don't have to go and kill myself trying to work 50 hours a week or 50 hours, you know, a day. Literally, it wasn't that bad. But that's the power of the rapid power reclaim. That's an act of being on the conscious healing career path. The conscious healing career path doesn't, you're always going to have bumper car crashes. It's always going to happen with people. My expertise is in the workplace, but these things happen outside of work as well. Mm-hmm. But that rapid power reclaim is a great way to reframe everything that's happening. And then secondly, if you're in a meeting and you get triggered, I had to learn, like, okay, well, what happens if you're in a meeting and you've just had a really strong triggered response, mm-hmm. and you don't really have time to go scream into a pillow. A couple of things. One, you can either step out and take a break. One of the companies I worked at, there was a private restroom that was sort of hidden. Nobody ever went there. I'd go in there, lock the door, and splash cold water on my face. And then I'd go back into the meeting with my nervous system in a much more calm state. Or you can practice a simple breathing technique in the room, which is, you know, I like the box breathing where you breathe in for so many counts, hold it for so many counts, let it out so many counts, and then hold it for so many counts. The four by four. I like that. And then if you're in a meeting with just one person and you've gotten triggered, you can always just say, look, you know what? I need a 10-minute break. Can we come back in 10 minutes? And then you can go and do a little bit of release of some of that emotion going on. So those are the techniques I use, and they're simple and they work.
And are all these, to a certain extent, discussed in your book then?
Yeah, Rapid Power Reclaim is. Of course, Martha and I published the book in 2021. And over the years, I've gotten better at explaining it in a much simpler way. I would say I was a little verbose in that chapter. but the essence are those three steps. They're mentioned in the book for sure. I've just gotten better at explaining how to actually do it in a way that I think resonates better. But certainly my course, I have a number of different courses. I actually have a mini course on navigating bumper car moments. It's a 1 hour. And I take the Rapid Power Reclaim and go into a lot of detail on that.
If you don't mind me asking, and I ask this in a place of vulnerability myself, because I manifest as pretty confident. I manifest as, you know, people see me and go, he's got under control. He knows what he's doing. And I'm pretty sure you can look back in your career and go, I probably did the same, right?
Absolutely. But
behind the scenes, behind, you know, me showing up in a fancy sport coat and fancy socks to act like I'm tough and seem like, you know, I exude this level of confidence I want other to instill in others about me or my presentation or whatever it may be, lies a very anxious and self-conscious individual who is desperate for outside validation because he's not really sure of his own worth if he doesn't get it.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
And you know, I've done a lot of work. Even to be able to say that out loud is tough for me because, you know, I think probably it took me up until the last 5 years to really wrap my mind around like how deeply insecure I can be at times,
mm-hmm.
which is funny. Like it's not funny, but it's ironic given, you know, your career path, which is far beyond mine, where you probably look back and go, I made it. Like, in all ways, like Fortune 150 and other companies of a large size, like, no one gets there. There's a very tiny number of people who can ever achieve that level of success. And yet, you're carrying around in you this insecurity that I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And perform, perform, perform.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for you, where does your worth come from?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. First of all, thank you for sharing about your own path. And what I love about it is it just reinforces for everybody who's listening how common this is with very successful, very high achieving people. But the question about where does my worth and value come from now? Where it comes from now is it's really much more introspective. And I feel that I am now really living my life on the purpose that God intended for me to be on. And so for me, the validation comes from serving others. I'll tell you, I almost did not publish this book because, like you, I had this external image of strength and confidence and success. But in the book, I'm extremely open about a lot of things that happened in my past. And Martha also does the same thing. I told Martha, we're not publishing this book. I was really worried about professional and personal judgment, which is a huge trigger for me. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness, Martha, who's got some of the best ideas in the whole world, she said, you know, I think you should spend 90 minutes with this Celine DaCosta. Neither one of us knew her, but we knew she was working with some people that we admired. And so I did a 90-minute one-on-one intensive with Celine. And I remember in that session, because I was afraid, I was in so much fear about putting myself out there into the world. She helped me realize that my purpose for what I'm doing, my why, was so much bigger than my fear that it like shattered all of the fears. It became so clear to me that I am on a path to teach self-acceptance to create a more joyful world. And in order to teach it, I need to practice it. And I learned that through an amazing program called Pathways to Successful Living, because they've got a series of seminars. They did a whole session on what's your purpose. And I feel, and I have felt it for a long time, but it's really in the last, you know, 5-6 years since Martha and I were working together. We started working together back in 2018. I am living my life on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I get great satisfaction in getting the message out, my healing at work message out, that it's really what I call it is when your past gets in the way of your future, and seeing the impact, and then just asking God to guide me about what do I need to do to support people. And then being able to sit down on a Sunday and write like it's being channeled from the universal body of knowledge. How should leaders think about the principles of healing at work in their leadership roles? And then, you know, I really believe in the power of purpose. And then to get invited to speak, I'm speaking at a big event in Portugal called the HR Congress. It's a global, you know, executive HR leadership event. I'm the kickoff keynote.
Wow.
But then they said, can you also build a 90-minute leaders work masterclass with what you do? And I'm like, yeah, I got all the materials. So for me, it's the joy of helping others. I'm only a little further on the path. And so I'm on the path with everybody, the healing at work path, but how to bring forward the insights and lessons and stories to help people realize that they can be having a much more joyful and fun experience in their careers and their workplaces. That when I have the opportunity to do that, this opportunity to talk with you, I walk away just feeling really grounded and on purpose. And that to me is my worth. It comes from being on purpose.
I love the vision or visual of being on the same path as everyone else and just being a little farther ahead. And now at this stage in your career, you know, greasing the skids for everyone else and pulling them along and going, whether you're, you know, 6 years into your career or 36 years into your career,
yep.
I'm going to give you, in a sense, the blueprint to not make the same mistakes, and yeah. That this becomes the legacy. The CHRO titles, the advisory titles, the board right. positions, everything else is nice, yeah. But like this becomes the legacy moving forward. Is that accurate for you?
That is exactly accurate, and I cannot reinforce enough that I am on the path. I get triggered emotionally regularly. I'm human. But the path, the conscious healing path is so much, it's just so much better. It's just such a better place to be. So absolutely, that I could not agree more with what you just said.
So I have to ask, you know, two questions of you. And the first one is, what's something that you wished I would have asked you about, or you were hoping to talk about today that I have not asked you about?
Ooh, you've had some really good questions. You've asked great questions I've never been asked before. So I really enjoyed it. I can't think of a single question. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to talk about. You've had beautiful questions. I love them.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that, because I didn't want to leave at least too many stones unturned for this conversation. I got the feeling this would be an emotional conversation. And kudos to us for not just breaking down, you know, throughout several portions of it, because I know this is a very personal subject for both of us. And we've had different experiences, but in so many ways, similar experiences. And I think, again, that's the power of the book that you have and the mission and purpose that you are living out daily is like, oh my gosh, this is everywhere. This is ubiquitous across industry, across positions. And this just comes from a human brokenness that we have that, yeah. You know, it's how many executives sit in 6,000 plus square foot homes in beautiful gated communities. Mm-hmm. And they've got the fancy cars, they've got their retirement portfolio figured out, and yet they're on their third marriage.
Yep.
Their kids don't talk to them.
Yep.
They've burned bridges. Yep. And they go home at night and drink themselves to death and are miserable because everything they've tried to achieve, they achieved, and then lost everything that mattered to them along the way.
Yep.
And that's a reality for way, way, way too many people.
I 100% agree. In fact, one man who heard me speak within my company, I've been very, very blessed by my company's support to be able to share this. shared that he wished that he had knew these insights decades ago, that it would have changed his whole experience of his career. And so to your point, it doesn't matter if you're a brand new college grad or if you've been in your career 35 years, these principles and practices from Healing at Work will support everybody. And, you know, it's just, there's been maybe the only other point to make is there've been a couple really what I would consider great validating points in addition to the testimonials that I've heard back from people. And that was, I had the privilege of sharing my keynote with the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute a few years ago. You know, like 55 executive coaches that had been through the program. And the man who was the founder of the Executive Coaching Institute, also a professor in the business school at Berkeley, Dr. Mark Rittenberg, who's become a very dear friend, he and his wife, after I got done speaking, he said, "Oh my God, every student, every business student out there needs to know this." And actually, he and I and another professor have been working to build out a syllabus to do an elective course for the graduate, for the business students, to teach some of the principles in addition to the business school program, the principles of Healing at Work and how this will make you a better leader. That's pretty cool. And then the other thing to note, which, you know, you can see it on my book, if you get a copy of my book, Jack Canfield, the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, the co-author who, you know, sold millions and millions and millions of books. I had the honor of him reading Healing at Work. And he noted that it was in his top five favorite books because of how important it is. I know that always makes me feel so good. So, yeah, I can't think of anything else to share. I mean, I think your last point about how so many people are experiencing these painful experiences when they're away from work and even at work, and to know that there is a very hopeful path. One of the other things that Martha and I talk about in the book is damaged is not doomed. So while it feels like, if I felt like a hamster on a wheel, I felt like, you know, this is my career, is running on this hamster wheel, beating myself up, drinking, going back and doing it again. Damage is not doomed. And my other saying is the rest of your life is yours. And so that opportunity to wake up from that state of unconsciousness and disconnection from the past, the ability to become conscious to the effects of that past, to understand how to manage it differently, to handle it more in a much healthier ways, the rest of your life really is yours.
What's something that you believe that if everyone else believed too would make this world a better place?
I think self-acceptance. I think, you know, so much of this is about not owning our own self-acceptance. The inner critic on constant overload in our brains beating us up always, constantly, the volume of the inner critic. The opportunity for, this is what I'm working to do, is to teach everybody how to have a deeper level of self-acceptance. Because when we are self-accepting and we stop looking to everybody else to validate us, we stop responding and reacting in triggered emotional states, I believe it will heal the world. I really do.
I think it would too. I'm going to end this podcast in a totally different way than I ever have in 60 plus episodes. And I just want to speak to those listening who are feeling maybe the same emotions that you and I are feeling, and whether it's fresh or whether it's something that's happened years ago and they're reflecting on, man, that was damage, or that, man, that was a situation that encapsulates the woundedness I carry, or whatever it may be. I want to say a few things to the executives and the leaders listening that you don't hear enough. And that is, you are enough. You are enough. And no one's going to be more impressed with you if you buy the Ferrari. No one's going to be more impressed with you if you wear the $50,000 watch. No one cares 100 years from now if you owned the lake house or the house in Tahoe or whatever it may be. No one really will remember you for your title, for the retirement portfolio you had by 40. No one is going to care about the size of your network and the people who know you and the names that you can rattle off over a coffee or a beer with your colleagues. the only thing they'll remember is how you impacted others. That's the only legacy that we leave behind. And the generational woundedness or the generational healing we can choose to attack and own for ourselves will manifest for our families for generations to come. And so for those listening, you are enough, but you might not be where you need to be. And I hope that today's conversation with Susan has prompted and encouraged you to own some of the stuff that you need to own and to take the journey, because Susan, I think you embody the fact that it's worth it. And yeah. I'm so grateful for meeting you. Mm-hmm. I hope that we can continue to stay connected and that somehow, some way, our mutual passions for this can find a home in alignment. Whether it's just the podcast today or something in the future, you know, right. I feel like you came into my life for a reason, and for those listening, perhaps a similar reason as well. So thank you for sharing your story.
You're welcome. You know, you reminded me of one other really important point with your comments to the leaders that are listening. The thing to keep in mind is that when we're on the unconscious wounded career path as leaders, our overreactions, our mood, our energy, our behaviors shape the culture of our organizations. And there's a company called Senn Delaney, S-E-N-N Delaney. They do a lot of culture work. They have a concept called the shadow of the leader. And that whatever the shadow is doing, whatever you are doing, that's the shadow that get cast in the organization. Not only what you're doing, but what you're not doing. If you're coming from a demanding, judgmental, harsh state, that is the shadow of the culture that you're creating in the organization. And that ability to get off the unconscious path and understand why you may be demonstrating some of those, you know, darker side of the shadow, mm-hmm. I think is embedded in the work that we've just been talking about together. I think that was a really important point that came up when you were talking to the group listening.
Well, Susan, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor, and I'm grateful for you and the work you're doing. And I'm so thrilled that I randomly came across you on LinkedIn and that we were able to have a very heartfelt conversation that led to this podcast today. And I think as I reflect across 60 plus episodes, you know, this is going to be a top five thing for me right now. I mean, this is one of the most real, authentic, vulnerable, impactful conversations I've had on the podcast and certainly in general in a while. And that's because of who you are and the work you've done. And I appreciate it very much.
Well, I am so glad we connected, and I have greatly enjoyed our conversation before today, and just really appreciate the opportunity to share the message about healing at work, that the rest of your life and in the cultures of the future can absolutely be shaped differently as we heal.
They certainly can. Well, without dragging it on, for those listening, thank you for spending your time. I hope these 50 minutes or so have been as impactful for you as has been for me, and you know, this is why we do what we do in this podcast, is to hear this sort of story and these sort of people. And it's been inspiring for me today, Susan. So for those listening, thank you. It's been another episode of the Frontline Industry Podcast, and we will see you next time. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Atana, equipping managers to truly become leaders every day. Atana.com. If you missed part one of this podcast with Susan, you must go back and listen to it to really grasp the impact of her book, Healing at Work. Susan brings such an authentic, vulnerable voice to topics that leaders need to hear. So send these episodes on to other leaders in your life so they can experience the healing at work they desperately need. They'll thank you, and so will I.